The verse that we would like to leave with you today as our text is near the end of the chapter. Indeed, it is the last verse of the chapter 29, 2 Chronicles. Verse 36 reads, "And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly." You recall from our study of last week that Hezekiah had called a solemn assembly of the priests and of the Levites. He summons them to gather together into the east street, verse 4. The street before the east gate was led into the city and was symbolic of the dawn of a new day in Judah's history. It was there that he charged the priests and the Levites, verse 5, to sanctify themselves and the house of the Lord God of their fathers. He told them also of the covenant which he himself had made with the Lord God of Israel, verse 10, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. And finally, he told them not to be negligent and to carry out the work the Lord had chosen them for to do. Verse 11. And so here was Hezekiah's call to the Levites and to the priests to enter once again into the house of the Lord, the doors of which he had opened, and to perform the duties that God had commanded them to do, to sanctify themselves and to cleanse and sanctify the house of God. And we see here their response. Look there at verse 12. "Then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abidai, and Azariah the son of Jehaliel, of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimmah, and Edom the son of Joah, of the sons of Eliphaz, Shemrai and Jeiel, and the sons of Asaph, Zechariah and Madaniah, and the sons of Heman, Jeiel and Shimei, of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemariah and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord." And so there we have their response. We have the response of the Levites. Now, we have just read the names of a number of individuals. And we have a number of individuals here mentioned by name as those who responded to Hezekiah's call. Two of each of the three principal houses are named: the house of Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. And then we have two of each of the three families of singers: Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. But why? Why were these names mentioned? Were there only 12 Levites there? I don't believe so. And for that matter, where were the priests? We find that we have just 12 names mentioned. No other names are mentioned at all. Why were their names mentioned? Well, I believe you have the answer there to the beginning of verse 12. For there we read, then the Levites arose. In other words, the Levites responded immediately to the call of Hezekiah. The Levites arose. They arose from their years of inactivity because the doors to the Lord's house had been closed and they had not been active in the worship of God in the house of the Lord. They arose from their neglect, their years of neglect of holy things. And there's no mention, as we've said, of the priests. Those who responded immediately to the call of Hezekiah were 12 Levites. Why did the priests not respond? You turn, please, to verse 34. But the priests were too few, so that they could not slay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. Mark this. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. The priests were slow of heart. They were slow to respond to the call of Hezekiah to go into the house of God and sanctify the house and sanctify the holy vessels and to cleanse the house of God. The Levites responded immediately. And isn't it interesting that 12 names are recorded by the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit of God has recorded 12 names of the Levites that responded to the call of Hezekiah. What does that teach us? It teaches us that the Lord takes note of what we do for Him. The Lord took note of the Levites and their readiness to go into the house of the Lord and respond to the call of Hezekiah. And dear child of God, the Lord always takes note. Even though others may not see what we do in the Lord's name, yet the Lord takes note and He records it. He does not overlook the faithful, fervent service of His people. Notice further, the Levites responded immediately to the call of Hezekiah. Look at verse 17. Now they began on the first day of the first month. They didn't put it off till the next day. It was on the first day of the first month that Hezekiah had opened the doors. And the doors to the Lord's house are open. Hezekiah gives his call to the Levites and the priests, and 12 Levites responded immediately because they entered the house of the Lord on the first day of the first month. There was a work to be done, and they were ready to do it. And you notice what happened. Look at verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. They gathered their brethren. That shows us how enthusiastic they were. They responded to the call of Hezekiah And lo and behold, they went out and they gathered their brethren. Come and help us. We have a work to do for the Lord. Their enthusiasm, their zeal for the work of God affected others. And dear child of God, if you have a zeal and an enthusiasm for the things of God and for the work of God, others will catch the fire as well. Others will become enthusiastic also. And here these Levites wanted others to become involved in the great work. They were enthusiastic and zealous, and before long others joined them in this great work. Look at the recognition. Hezekiah was the one who had called them and challenged them about returning to the Lord's house. And the Levites responded to the call of the king. The Levites took up the word of the king and entered into the Lord's house. But look at verse 15 again. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king. Yes, they responded to the commandment of the king. But then it says, by the words of the Lord. They responded to the commandment of the king. But what was the king telling them? The king was telling them, this is the word of the Lord. This is the will of God. And so the Levites were simply obeying the word of the Lord when they entered into the house of God. Notice what it says in your margin. And they came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord. By the words of the Lord may be rendered also according to the margin in the business of the Lord. And so the Levites responded to the call of the king to get involved and to carry out the business of the Lord. They had gone into the house of God to do business for the Lord. Oh, believer, may we come up to God's house and go up to the house of the Lord to do business with God. For it is the Lord's will. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Notice also their readiness. The Levites did not need to be asked a second time. There was no reluctance on their part to get involved in the business of the Lord. The priests eventually did get involved in verse 16. And it says the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord, because only the priests were allowed to do that. They went into the inner part of the house of the Lord, into the holy place, to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness. Remember last week we noted the uncleanness had to do with that heathen altar that Ahaz had brought in to the Lord's house, displacing the altar of the Lord. He had brought in that heathen altar, that unclean, that filthy thing. Well, the priests removed it, all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. And so there you have the Levites again, an example of their enthusiasm and their zeal. The priests went into the holy place and cleansed it, and all that was found there, the Levites took and carried outside the city and went down there into the valley, into the Kidron Valley, and dumped all those unclean things into the Kidron River. There's the Levites again. They were prepared. They were ready to go the second mile. It's as if they said to the priest, we'll do it. We'll take this down into the Kidron Valley. They went the second mile. There you see their readiness to serve the Lord, their readiness to get involved in the business of God. Then you have their report. Look at verse 18. We are told that they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify the temple. Whenever they had everything finished, verse 18, then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offerings with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. And all the vessels that Ahaz had taken out of the Lord's house they had replaced." And they brought this report to the king. In other words, they said to the king, "We have finished the work Thou hast given us to do." That's a good report. Good to be able to bring that report to the king. One day we'll have to report to the king. One day we'll stand before the king. Wonder will we be able to give the same report. "We have done. We have finished the work Thou hast given us and given me to do." And so they reported to the king. They'd made an end of all the sanctifying of themselves and the house of God, and everything was now ready for the king to enter the temple and to worship God. Now here is Hezekiah, and under God, with the Lord's hand upon him, he's the one who's been used to bring about this great reformation in Judah. And God worked and moved with a great revival. And Hezekiah, as he went into the temple to worship God, to again reestablish the worship of Jehovah, he wanted to make sure it was done properly. He wanted a worship that glorified God. And that's our burden of our message today. God glorifying worship. Hezekiah didn't want any kind of worship. He didn't want just to go into the house of God for the sake of it, if he was going to lead the nation in the worship of Jehovah. He wanted it to be done properly. He wanted a worship that honored and glorified God. First of all, we notice Hezekiah's worship and his sacrifices. Sacrifices of Hezekiah that were offered to the Lord at this time of worship. Hezekiah had watched his father, Ahaz, provoke the anger of the Lord God of Israel by his plundering the house of God, by his removal of the vessels, by cutting them in pieces and casting them forth. Chapter 28, verse 34. He was powerless to prevent his father from shutting the doors of God's house, thus putting an end to the act of public worship of Jehovah. And there was nothing he could do about the erection of idols in every corner of Jerusalem. All that Hezekiah could do was wait. Wait until the day that he would occupy the throne. And that day had come. And Hezekiah wasted no time in opening the doors into the house of God. We have noted that he did it on the first day of the first month. And so he has opened the house of the Lord again for worship. And he's about to enter the Lord's house to worship Jehovah. And as that day dawns for him to go to God's house That which strikes me most forcibly is this, is that how fervent Hezekiah was in the worship of God. When he was told that the Lord's house was once again ready to receive worshippers, it seems as though Hezekiah could not wait. He could hardly wait to enter the Lord's house. He truly knew the meaning of the words of the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hezekiah knew the meaning of those words. And that gladness is expressed there in the words of verse 20, where we began our reading. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. Do you notice the words? There you have his conduct. It says he rose early. Doesn't say that about any other day. But it certainly says this about the day when the door of God's house, where the doors were opened and Hezekiah was ready to enter, and it was that day, the day of worship, that Hezekiah rose up early. Does that not speak to us of his enthusiasm? And how fervent he was about worshiping God. He wanted to be early in the place of worship. This reminds me of Abraham when he went to meet with the Lord after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19 verse 27 says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He was going to meet with God. And he got up early. He was going to the place where he would meet with the Lord, and he wanted to be there early. You recall again later on when God called him to offer up his son Isaac, that he went out with his servants, and whenever that day came for him to go out with his servants and his son to offer him to the Lord, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And then he told his servants, when he came to the place where his son would be offered, he said to them, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. He was going to worship, so he rose up early. Before that, he was going to stand before the Lord, so he rose up early. You recall in the resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. John 20 verse 1 says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. Does that not tell us on the part of Abraham, Mary Magdalene, and Hezekiah, that they anticipated meeting with God, and this anticipation caused them to rise up early on their day of worship because they were going to meet the Lord? As Robert Murray McShane said, he always liked to rise early on the Lord's day because he wanted to have a long Sabbath. A long Sabbath. It was their anticipation at meeting the Lord which caused them to rise early, and certainly caused Hezekiah to rise early. Do we have that same zeal for the house of God, looking forward to the Lord's day, looking forward on the Lord's day, to getting to God's house to meet with the Lord? Notice also, not only his conduct, but his company. Hezekiah the king was determined that he was not going up to the house of the Lord alone. And so in verse 20 we read, Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. Gathered the rulers of the city. Hezekiah had already encouraged the priests. He had already encouraged the Levites. And now he encourages the rulers of the city to go with him to the house of the Lord. This action of Hezekiah brought glory to God. That he was bringing others with him to worship God and to magnify the Lord. That brought glory to the Lord. Hezekiah could easily have said with the words of Moses, come with us and we will do thee good. To the priests he said, come with us. To the Levites he said, come with us. To the rulers he said, come with us and we will do thee good. No, dear child of God, we glorify God. And we bring others with us and ask others, come with us. And join with us as we worship God. So we have his servant saying, we notice the fullness of his worship. We read in verse 21, and they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. And so they brought 7 of everything. There's the fullness of their offerings and their sacrifices. Whenever we come to the house of God, what do we bring with us? Do we bring a heart that's hungry for the Word? Do we bring with us a soul that thirsts after the Lord? Do we bring a listening ear? Do we bring a teachable spirit? What do we bring with us to the house of God? I trust that as we leave the house of God, we leave with a blessing. But what do we bring? Hezekiah brought 7 bullocks, 7 he-goats, and 7 lambs brought into the house of God. It's interesting that while Hezekiah brought 7 of each animal, the law only required him to bring 1. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. On this occasion, Hezekiah brought 7 of each animal. What for? For a sin offering. The Lord only required 1 animal for a sin offering. Why did Hezekiah bring 7? Hezekiah or Israel or Judah had not been worshipping the Lord for many years. Judah had been brought to naught, you recall. Judah was naked before God. Judah had gone and worshipped other gods. And the Lord had brought Judah low. There was a lot of sin to be dealt with. There was a lot of sin to be forgiven. And Hezekiah knew that because there was a lot of sin to be dealt with, then there needed to be many offerings. And so he brought the 7 lambs and the 7 goats and the 7 bullocks for a sin offering. How could he worship God in a proper way and in a way that would glorify God while sin remained in the nation and in the hearts of the people. Hezekiah's first action in the house of God was to offer up a sin offering. And dear child of God, when we come to the Lord's house, we want to worship God in a way that glorifies Him. Sin needs to be dealt with first of all. We need to pray for the removal of sin. Turn, please, to Psalm 24. And there in Psalm 24, this very truth is set before us. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. How shall we enter into the courts of the Lord to worship God, to glorify Him in our worship? We can only do that if we have clean hands and a pure heart. And so we must have our sin dealt with first of all. Hezekiah started with the sin offering. Dear child of God, our sin offering has already been offered. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our sin offering. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for He has made Him to be sin for us. And the word there is sin offering. For He has made Him to be a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ is our sin offering. We can go to Him at the beginning of our worship. And surely the fact that seven is mentioned repeatedly here speaks to us of Christ, the perfect sin offering. Hezekiah had to offer his beasts again and again and again, indeed seven times. Our sin offering was offered once. And that is sufficient. You notice also the focus of Hezekiah's worship. One of the first of the filthy things to be removed from the house of God, of course, was the altar that Ahaz had made. It was fashioned after the altar of the heathen. It was used to worship the heathen gods. Now the Lord's altar has been replaced, put back in its rightful place. And the attention of Hezekiah and all the worshippers is focused on that altar and all the activity surrounding that altar. Look at verse 22. Verse 22. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the ram, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And again, verse 24. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar. And so their worship focused on the altar. Notice how the altar was sprinkled with blood each time an animal was sacrificed. This again was in keeping with the law of Moses, Exodus 24 verse 6 and Leviticus 3 verse 2. So in Hezekiah's day, the worship of the Lord involved many sacrifices and much blood round about the altar. Their worship of the Lord was only acceptable on the basis of the blood and the sacrifices on the altar. And believer, our worship today can only be acceptable in God's sight if it is based upon the finished work of Christ, upon the blood that was shed upon the altar. The altar called Calvary. And when we gather in God's house to worship God, our worship also must focus upon the finished work of Christ. Because no matter what subject, what topic, what matter we deal with, it can only be dealt with properly in the light of the cross work of Christ. That's where our focus must always be. It must be upon the Lord Jesus. God is glorified in our worship if we focus our attention on His dear Son and upon His finished work. You recall what John said in his gospel about the Greeks who went up to Jerusalem? We're told that they went up to worship at the time of the feast. They went up to worship. And what was their prayer as they went up to worship? Sir, they said to Philip, Sir, we would see Jesus. They wanted to see the Lord Jesus in their worship. And when Hezekiah went up to the Lord's house to worship, the focus of his attention was upon the sacrifice and the blood. May our worship ever be focused upon the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the worship that glorifies God. That's the worship that honors Him. So we have Hezekiah's worship and his sacrifices. Then you have Hezekiah's worship and his singing. The very fact that the doors of the Lord's house had been opened, the worship of Jehovah had commenced again, would have made Hezekiah rejoice. And that spirit of praise and thanksgiving can be seen in the singing. It was part of the worship service. Notice their gladness. Hezekiah, the princes, the priests, and the people were glad to be in the house of the Lord. Are we glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Does it gladden our hearts? Do we rejoice at being in God's house? Look at verse 25. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by the prophet. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets, and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. There you have their gladness. When they came to the service of praise, it was carried out in accordance with God's word. Do you notice that? For so was the commandment of the Lord by the prophets. That's the kind of worship that glorifies God. Worship that is based upon and is carried out according to the Scriptures. Their worship of the Lord included their praise that was based on God's Word. Their worship was in keeping with the revealed will of God. You know, this brings to mind what is written in our Westminster Confession of Faith with regard to worship. In chapter 21 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, in the first section, we have these words regarding worship. The acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by Himself. And so limited by His own revealed will, that He may not be worshipped according to the imaginations and devices of men, or the suggestions of Satan, under any visible representation, or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scripture. This is what is known as the regulative principle. That our worship is regulated by Scripture. That we carry out our worship service according to what is found in God's Word. And that's what Hezekiah was about. He opened the doors to the Lord's house, began again the worship of Jehovah, and he wanted it to be carried out and done according to God's Word. You know, believer, in revival, there'll be things happen, extraordinary things will happen. You will need to read about the great revivals of the past to know that. That things happened that were extraordinary happenings. But they were always in accordance with God's Word. Because the Spirit of God never works contrary to His Word. And so in this great Reformation in Judah, all that was done in accordance with God's Word, including their praise. You notice their adoration. You will notice that when they engaged in praise, it was an act of adoration. Verse 27, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, and when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also. With the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began. Do you notice the connection? Their singing is connected with their sacrificing. Their song had to do with the burnt offering. Their song had to do with the sacrifices, and it's the song of the Lord. And dear believer, our song has to do with the sacrifice of Calvary, because when we came as sinners to Jesus, what did He give us? He gave us a new song. And when we sing in God's house and worship Him, we sing the song of the Lord. We engage our hearts in the adoration of our God and of our Savior. That's why we sing. We sing unto the Lord, the Lord's song, the new song, the song that the Lord has given to us. You will notice there their attitude. We're told that when they sang from their hearts, for verse 30 says, they sang praises with gladness. And they bowed their heads and worshipped. In other words, they didn't just sing because Hezekiah told them to sing. But rather they sang the song of the Lord with gladness. There was a gladness in their hearts. No believer, may there be that gladness in our hearts when we sing the song of the Lord. When we sing praises to our blessed Savior, may there be that gladness in our hearts. What a difference there would be to our singing if we sang with gladness in our hearts. You'll notice also not only their gladness, but their giving. Because we are told that when they had offered all the burnt offerings and the sin offerings, verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." They were to bring their thank offerings into the house of the Lord. This is in keeping once again with the psalmist, that psalm that we sang this morning. We sang Psalm 100. Verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. We are to bring our thank offerings, the praise of our lips, the thanksgiving of our hearts. They were to do this with their burnt offerings. The burnt offering was different from other offerings. The burnt offering, the animal that was brought and sacrificed, was completely burned. The offerer received nothing from that offering, that sacrifice. He did not eat of the meat of a burnt offering, because the whole burnt offering was offered to the Lord. Everything was given to the Lord. And when we come into God's house to worship him, let us give everything to the Lord. Let us not be like Ananias and Sapphira, who kept back part of the price, but come rather into the Lord's house and into his courts with thanksgiving, and give him all the praise and the thanks and the adoration of our hearts, holding nothing back. Holding nothing back. Again, we turn to the Psalms. There in Psalm 96. In Psalm 96 and verse 7. "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth." Bring an offering. Bring the offering of thanksgiving. Give to the Lord the thanks and the praise of your heart, holding nothing back. Oh, believer, let us come to God's house in this way. Let us come to God's house. Be glad to be in God's house, rejoicing that we have a new song to sing. Notice the generosity of Hezekiah. For when he and the others brought their thank offerings unto the Lord, we're told that they brought 70 bullocks, they brought 100 rams, they brought 200 lambs, they brought 600 oxen. They brought 3,000 sheep. And all these were offered to the Lord. They were most generous in their giving to the Lord. In fact, as you note there, bullocks, rams, lambs, oxen, sheep. 5 different types of animals. And grace enabled them to give so well to the Lord, bringing these thank offerings unto the Lord. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And my, how well the Lord rewarded Hezekiah. He sent revival, he sent a reformation to the land of Judah. And then finally you have Hezekiah's worship and his satisfaction. Once more, verse 36, Hezekiah rejoiced. He rejoiced over many things, but he rejoiced at the end of verse 35, so the service of the Lord was set in order. Everything was done in order. That's what rejoiced his heart. God is a God of order. And Hezekiah set out to worship God in an orderly fashion, according to God's word and in keeping with his commandments. And that rejoiced Hezekiah's heart. Would that not also rejoice our hearts? You have his rejoicing, you have his recognition. That which also satisfied Hezekiah was that what had been done was all of God. Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people. He rejoiced that God had prepared the people. This indeed was the work of God. This was the Lord's doing. Was marvelous in his eyes. And then the reason? Because the thing was done suddenly. That's a sure sign it's a work of God when it was done suddenly. When God comes in revival, when God comes in reformation, he'll come suddenly to his temple. And Hezekiah rejoiced that the worship of Jehovah had been set in order. The doors of God's house had been opened. The altar had been replaced. The sacrifices had been offered. The blood had been shed. The people had consecrated themselves. Sin had been dealt with. The people were rejoicing. And the congregation sang. Why, you couldn't ask for anything more. May the Lord give us God honoring, God glorifying services like that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious Father, we come again to Thee in the Savior's name. And O Lord, we pray that the worship services in this place, Lord, will ever bring glory to Thy name. We pray, our God, that as much as lies within us, our services, Lord, will be ordered by Thee in accordance and in keeping with Thy word. Lord, bless the word to our hearts, and may we indeed go on our way rejoicing today. Hezekiah rejoiced, having been in the house of God and worshipped the Lord. Lord, may we rejoice, having been in God's house, having worshipped the Lord today. Father, may we take the word home with us, meditate upon it. Lord, be pleased to bring us again to the Lord's house tonight and save souls tonight. Help us, Lord, to pray to that end. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.